Good morning, or afternoon, or happy drive, whatever it is you're doing. This is the Entertainment Earth Toy of the Week podcast. I hope you enjoy it, as you are known to do. This week we're looking at the Star Wars Episode 1 Phantom Menace wave of Star Wars Legacy Collection figures, as well as the latest wave of Star Wars comic packs, because Hasbro has released so much new stuff that I honestly have no idea if we're going to be able to review it all before too much other new stuff comes out. So, like last week, we're going to be doubling up some. So, strap in! This should be fun! I'm going to start off with the comic packs, because those were theoretically released first, only I just got mine last night. These are the same... That's too close. These are the same kind of two packs I've been selling on and off since the very first one was a shared Entertainment Earth exclusive in 2006. They still include two figures and a full-size comic book, and are pretty spectacular. If you are a fan of the Star Wars Expanded Universe experience, or product line, or whatever you'd like to call it, these are probably things that you really do need to buy, because they span a good generation of characters. And, well, why not? First, let's look at the Star Wars Tales pack, which includes Kyle Katarn, the character from Dark Forces and Jedi Knight, as well as a giant Yuuzhan Vong. This thing is huge! I mean, it's big, which is, you see some big Star Wars figures. This is one of the biggest. It's probably, it's definitely smaller than the new Dark Trooper Build-A-Droid, which is ginormous from Walmart. And it's shorter than the Graxxel Kelvin from Episode 1. But excepting those guys, this might be the overall beefiest Star Wars figure I can think of. I'm just looking at it right now. It's a good size. I mean, it's a full, let's see here, at least a head. It's way more than a head taller than Kyle Katarn. He comes up to about where the nipple would be on the Yuuzhan Vong. It's super articulated. It reminds me a lot of Hasbro's recently released Hulk action figure in a 3¾-inch scale. It has all the articulation you might want, a giant staff weapon, lots and lots of spikes. I mean, this could be a heavy metal guy, a roadie from Metalocalypse. He's got his mouth held back by some metal things. I didn't read the New Jedi Order, by the way. He's got a swivel head, not a ball-jointed head, but everything else is pretty much super articulated the way you'd expect. His hands are disgustingly big. He's got bulging veins on his arms. It's my understanding that all of the armor on a Yuuzhan Vong in the Expanded Universe has, it's bioengineered, so it's like, it's not a chest plate, it's a crab. And they engineered the crab to form in the form of your chest armor. So some of these parts have little eyes on them, which is a nice touch. Other ones, I'm not sure how they're supposed to be a creature. It looks like metal, but it's not. It's hard to explain. The same kind of armor was used for Darth Krayt, but we'll get to him in a minute. I'm already spending too much time just on this guy. He's just really something. I mean, seriously, if you're interested in Yuuzhan Vong stuff, don't hesitate. Just get this. You don't even need to know what Kyle Katarn's like. And the good news, Kyle Katarn's pretty good. He's got a gun with a holster, a lightsaber, and he's super articulated, except he has no ankles. The likeness is pretty good. He's got a beard. He's got a little shoulder pad thing that comes off arguably too easily. So that's kind of a shame. It's got these little pegs in it. Same problem with Darth Krayt. And the sculpting on the armor is good. The sculpting on the pants is pretty good. The deco is acceptable. It's certainly nothing stunning. If you look at the Yuuzhan Vong figure, you can tell where all the money in this two-pack went. But Kyle Katarn is perfectly fine. If you saw him as an individually carded figure and you're a fan of Kyle Katarn, you'd probably be like, this is really good. I like it. I'll buy it. But that's the first set. The second set we're looking at is Sigil or Sigil Dare and Darth Krayt from the Star Wars Legacy series. Sigil Dare is a Imperial Knight female figure. It's very much like the two released last year with Antares Draco and Ganner Keeg. Same kind of lightsaber, same kind of armor, except she's shorter. Has what appears to be eyeliner, and just looks a little bit more dead inside. Her face paint is painted flesh color instead of being molded in flesh color, which gives her a totally different look than those other figures. Her hair looks a lot like Princess Leia Bespin's. If I didn't know better, I would say they'd probably reuse it for her, and or Hoth for that matter. Again, super articulated, a little bit shorter, cloth cape with a hood on it, which really doesn't do her much good. I'm putting the hood on right now, and it looks kind of stupid. By kind of stupid, I mean really stupid. So just leave it hanging in the back, because it looks good there. Metallic red armor, white lightsaber. Fans of the Imperial Knights will like it. And the rest of you Legacy fans will be wondering why they didn't focus their energies elsewhere. because we don't have much of a variety of characters from this line yet. Thankfully, we did get Darth Krayt, who is the head Sith in the Legacy series and in the comics as of now. He may or may not be dead. I'm actually not entirely sure, even though I've read every issue. It looks like they're trying to make it that he's dead, but he's around so much, floating in some stasis field, that maybe he's not. I don't know. He looks like a samurai at first glance, but again, he's covered in Yuuzhan Vong armor. The helmet comes off to reveal the head of Asherad Het. Again, spoiler alert for those of you who didn't read the comic 3 years ago. He's got two lightsabers. Pretty good articulation. Everything but ankles. And the waist armor prevents him from sitting too well. Also, his hand sculpts prevent him from holding the lightsabers. As soon as you get the rubber bands off, the first time you take the lightsabers out of the hand, they kind of pull out. They were kind of fused there by heat or something. I don't know. But the left hand cannot grip anything. So you're going to need to use one of your clear rubber bands or just let him not hold it. Or leave those rubber bands on. I would almost recommend you get two of this figure. Leave the rubber bands on for one for display purposes, and the other one you can take off and be able to kind of play with. Basically, this is one of Hasbro's unfortunate engineering glitches. The helmet is really hard to get off. It's very snug, so there's no worries about it falling off there. Ponytail comes out the back. You can see his eyes through the mask. And it looks like they got the eye color right, which is good. You'd recognize it if you read the comic book, which comes with it, by the way. And the shoulder armor has these little pegs going into the shoulders that, again, comes off pretty easily. So be careful when you're playing with it, because when I opened it, the left shoulder pad flew off the figure, and I didn't realize for a couple minutes where it was. I thought for a second maybe it didn't even come in the package, and I didn't realize it. So, yeah, be careful when opening this one. The armor doesn't have much deco on it. He's got a lot of little coral seeds. Spikes, at least I presume that's what they are. And he's got the face tattoos, only because he's lacking the wrinkles in the comic book, the face tattoos look kind of funny. Because in the comic, this guy looks old, and he's supposed to be like, what, 130 or something? But it's Darth Krayt, and he looks pretty good. And for those of you who have a paintbrush and can touch him up a little bit, he'll be even better. As he stands, it's a really good sculpt, and I'm very happy Hasbro made him. Next, we have my favorite set in the wave, Luke Skywalker versus Lumaya. It's Star Wars issue 96 from Marvel, and you can probably tell in my voice I'm smiling right now. I'm so happy they made this. Luke has his outfit with the sleeves cut off, one glove, just like Michael Jackson, two lightsabers. One is the Return of the Jedi style green. Another one's a little smaller red lightsaber blade that he used in the end of the Star Wars comic run in the final 11 issues. His body is based on the engineering principles of the Return of the Jedi wave Luke Jedi Knight. It uses the same legs that they've been using for Jedi Knight Luke figures since 2007. So if you bought the 30th anniversary Jedi Luke, the Legacy Sandstorm Luke, or the just released Legacy Return of the Jedi wave Build-A-Droid Death Star 2 Luke, you have these legs. And he's got a ball-jointed waist and a new crotch, so it's a new mold there. As far as I can tell, it seems to be a new head. And the bare arms are super articulated, and the articulation looks great. It's not like other opportunities that Hasbro had to do bare-armed, super articulated figures. This one looks good. He's kind of tan, which is, again, great. And the outfit looks kind of like a Bespin outfit with the sleeves cut off, I guess. If you read the Star Wars Marvel run, you probably know what I'm talking about. It's kind of an orangish-brown. It's just so cool to have it. I'm just giddy. It's really nice. Lumaya has more and less than she should. The figure has a giant cape. I mean, like, the thing, if you hold up the figure in the air like I'm holding it right now, and the cape goes straight down, there's tattered elements to the cape that are going, I'd say, a good solid inch and a half below her feet. It's huge. She's got her head wrapped in bandages, or another one that is free with all of her scars, and you can see what appear to be cybernetic implants under her skin. Her eyes all slashed up. The paint job on the face I don't think is that great because she looks really, really, really pale and has eyeliner. The battle-damaged armor she wears looks great. You can see all the circuitry and wiring. Again, except for the ankle, she's basically super articulated. Luke, by the way, is super articulated. And there's a lot to like here. As most likely the only Lumaya figure we will ever see, it's pretty great. And they picked the outfit more or less as seen on the cover. And I have to say, big thanks to Hasbro for showing restraint and not making her blue and purple like on the cover of the comic book. She looks like she could exist in the movie universe just like Luke, which is very unusual for the Marvel Comics comic packs. I don't mind it so much for the original trilogy characters like Lando, you know, he's bright red, or You know, Leia has some purple on her for some reason. That looks kind of neat because it's different than the figure I already have. But when you have a new character like this, it's really nice to see it realistic style. She also has a giant light whip, which is very flexible, and she can hold it just fine, even though I didn't think her dainty little hands could. So kudos, Hasbro, on a job well done on the entire wave of the Star Wars Legacy Collection comic packs. And from the look of things, this is the only new wave we're getting this year. We only had one other new wave around January, and that's it. So this was not a good year for comic packs.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Did you know you could buy all this stuff at Entertainment Earth? It's true. We sell it. How's that for an ad this week? Good? Short? Okay.
We now return to the Transformers.
Optimus Prime and Megatron are going to battle at the dam! Actually, they're not. I'm just going to tell you about some more Star Wars figures, because that is what Toy of the Week has essentially descended into, because there's so much new stuff being released by Hasbro, like, every 5 minutes. I'm also trying to get this cable under a pile of bills on my desk. There we go. Now I'm more mobile. Anyway, the latest... Actually, that's not true. The first red-packaged Legacy wave of Star Wars action figures is based on Episode 1. Return of the Jedi wave just hit this week. We just got ours at Entertainment Earth, and therefore I just got mine, and they're great. This Episode 1 wave, not as exciting, but still very good. They're well done. Easily Hasbro's best Episode 1 product to date, but it's still Episode 1 product, which, depending on your age as a Star Wars fan, is either a very exciting thing or something you roll your eyes at and grit your teeth and accept as a fact of life. There really hasn't been an Episode 1 wave in, has it been that long? 2-3 years? I don't think there was a pure Episode 1 wave in the 30th anniversary, so it would be the Saga Collection, so it would be about 3 years ago this month, give or take. So what do we have now that we actually have brand new, exciting plastic Episode 1 figures in front of us? I'm glad you asked. There are 6 new figures, including Clegg Holdfast. Apparently there's a way to get this new pod racer to actually have his goggles that he includes on his head. I have not figured out how to do this yet without breaking the goggles, so I'm not going to try. The figure is super articulated, which is, except for the angles, no, already out of angles. No angles. And he's got what looked like pepper specks all over him. He can sit, he can stand. He's very well designed as a toy. He's got gloves. He's also short, so some of you might complain that you're paying $8 for what essentially amounts to half of a two-pack rather than a whole figure. But I can say, as Nosaurians go, he's very good. He's the same species as the guys in the Dark Times comics. His armor is pretty nice. He can, if they ever make a pod racer, and they might now with the new Star Tours announcement, he can sit. He's pretty good. He's just not great. Pod racer fans will probably already buy one. Everybody else is probably going to look at him and go, I don't know. He's got a blaster. It's nice. Next, we have Rum Slegg, which is really cool because you might remember him in the Episode 1 Mos Espa arrival scenes as this red-suited alien creature walking around in a helmet, and he looks like he's talking to somebody, but there's no one there, so he's crazy. They didn't have Bluetooth yet, but what actually was going on was there was a second creature, which George Lucas didn't like, and they basically airbrushed him out. So this guy was having a conversation with someone that only he could see, just like in real life if you live in Los Angeles. He has a movable helmet, is super articulated, except for the ankles. Why are they dropping the ankles on everybody? I'm not sure. Anyway, the figure has a removable helmet, and when you take off his helmet, it looks like he's got a hockey mask on, because there's another face under his face, and he's got kind of a ponytail thing going. It's a really weird-looking figure, but easily one of the best. The bright red suit's really cool. I have to say that if you only buy one figure out of this wave, make it Rum Slegg, just because he's just that weird. Next up on our little journey of the to the center of the Star Wars action figure line, that doesn't really sound good, we have a Gungan Warrior, a brand new Gungan Warrior, actually. This one is, the sculpting is very much like the one from 2001 in the Power of the Jedi line, which is very old, but the super articulation they added to this figure is really great. They also added a really big belt, and you can put a boomer in the back of the belt. That's that little blue clear orb on a stick bomb weapon you saw in the Episode 1 battle sequences. And what else does he have? Oh, he's got this giant horn thing, and that goes into a little hole around his crotch. He can hold it into his hand and blow into it. You can make your own jokes there. No removable helmets or anything like that, but he does have all the articulation you might hope for. He does not have all of the deco you might hope for. If you look really close at his skin, you'll notice he doesn't have the ornate skin patterns on other Gungan figures. So if you look at him kind of far away, he looks great. If you look at him really close up, you might notice there's something missing. But the articulation and armor are so good, and the sculpting is really nice, that you might not really ultimately care. I'm not sure if Hasbro's going to be shipping a lot of this Episode 1 wave, by the way. It looks like there's only one version of a case shipping. At least that's all Weird Entertainment Earth have been offered to sell so far. So I hope they keep bringing out more of them, because I'd like to get more Gungan Warriors. They're pretty nice. Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Episode 1 version, has a cloth cloak, a lightsaber, and that's it. The figure is very well designed. The head looks Ewan McGregor-ish. It's not bad. He's got a bit of a big neck. And he was also part of the never-produced Obi-Wan Kenobi Evolutions pack. The other two figures have already been released. He is super articulated, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He has a ball-jointed waist. He does not have lateral hip movement. And he looks great. He'll go great with your Evolutions Qui-Gon Jinn figure or the Qui-Gon Jinn from the Yopi mail-in offer, which is the Evolutions Qui-Gon figure. It's pretty great. And after this one, there may be no reason to go back and do another one unless they add extra hip articulation. The Queen Amidala figure from this wave is the purple travel gown. She has a holster, and she also is wearing what appears to be a thong, if you look up her dress. And I'm a pervert, so I do these things. I haven't compared it myself, but a good buddy on Twitter has told me that the figure shares parts with the Queen Organa figure, which is probably true. Amidala has super articulated arms, which is surprising. Ball-jointed shoulders, ball-jointed elbows, normal wrists. She has a waist. She has articulated ball-jointed neck. She's got a blaster. It's more than you would expect out of a figure of this nature, so I'd say Hasbro did a great job making what could have been a chess piece into something more. The only problem is she doesn't stand very well, so it's almost a waste to give her legs at all. They could have just made her a solid piece from the waist down. I think it would have been better overall, because that way the dress wouldn't get misshapen over time, as I'm sure this one will, depending on how you store it. And frankly, those little spindly legs aren't going to hold up the figure very well. So that is the Queen. And let's move on to the last two figures of this already too long podcast. We've got Darth Sidious on his Meccano chair. He is the last normal figure. Basically, what you get is a PVC, clear, non-articulated Darth Sidious figure on a little walking chair thing with lots and lots of joints. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points of articulation on this little walking stand thing, which is way more than it needs to have. It's also very spindly, so over time I do expect it to misshapen in heat and gravity. Just be careful with it. The figure on top is clear and has no paint. Basically, this looks like it's kind of one of the cheapest things Hasbro's done and sold as a figure. It would have been nice if the walking stand had some paint on it beyond the one color it has, which is just, it's just bronze. I don't know what color of plastic it's molded in, but it's clearly painted. It's okay. It's just, yeah, it's just not exciting. If this was an accessory to, like, Newt Gunray or something, you'd be like, eh, it's all right. As a freestanding figure, it's more or less confusing. But the reason you want to buy it is because it has a Build-A-Droid piece, like all the figures in this wave. And that Build-A-Droid will get you L8, L9, which you probably don't recognize the name of, but he's from the Clone Wars cartoon show. He's sort of a red stormtrooper-looking robot. He's got two flamethrower hands. He's basically super articulated, bright red. Looks like he stepped right out of the cartoon show, even though it walks a fine line between being a realistic style figure and a cartoon style figure. I think if you put it in with your 2003 era Clone Wars cartoon toys, it would fit. And if you put it in with your modern realistic line, it would fit just fine. So you can do whatever you'd like. It's got elbow joints. It's got swivel joints at the elbow. It's got wrist joints, more or less. You can sit, you can stand, you can do everything. It's a great figure. His helmet plugs into his back. It's just very well done. Bright red. There's some orange metallic on him. There's some blue for his head. Little orange dots here and there, and silver highlights. He is super articulated. He does have ankle joints for reasons I don't fully understand. But hey, thanks, Hasbro. You did a really good job on this one. He also has two giant freaking flames that plug into his wrists. And they do cause some gravity problems because they're so heavy and big that you might need to pose them a certain way. But it's great to have the option of those accessories. Hasbro did a spectacular job on this figure. The whole wave is really high quality. It's just a matter of you have something like Darth Sidious in the Meccano chair, and you're like, why do I own this? And why stop now, I guess. Anyway, that's this week's Toy of the Week. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a little bit longer than usual. I tried to make it kind of longer and kind of shorter, and I think I just succeeded in making it longer. But anyway, next week we're gonna have more vehicles and more figures and more excitement. So I hope you enjoy all these looks at Star Wars figures, and you have a great weekend.